Scripture reading this evening will be Nehemiah 1, 6, and 11. Again, that's Nehemiah 1, 6, and 11. Please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name, and let your servant prosper this day. And I pray and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer.
When we began this series of lessons, seeing God, getting to know God, the first lesson had to do with the importance of such, and to understand that we need to know God because there's a great confusion about who He truly is. Not only that, we want to be like Him. And in order to be like Him, that means that we need to know Him. We've studied the mind of God. We looked at the eyes of God. We even studied last Sunday evening the face of God. And so tonight I want us to spend a little bit of time thinking about the ears of God. As was just read, we have numerous ones who throughout Scripture have called on God to hear their cry, to hear their prayers. Nehemiah, as was just read, pleaded for the ears of God to be open and attentive to his prayers. He says, I beseech you, let your ear be attentive. Hear the prayer of your servant. Hezekiah is one as well who pled with God to hear his prayer. Incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear, and open your eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear all the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent to reproach the living God. Daniel is one who called on God to hear the prayer of his servant. He says, now therefore, O God, hear the prayer of your servant, his supplications, and cause your face to shine upon the sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open your eyes. He says, and behold our desolations in the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you for our righteousness, but for your great mercies. Daniel 9, 17 and 18. The psalmist, numerous times we find passages in the Psalms where we read such as Psalm 5 and verse 1. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Psalm 17, 6, I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God, incline thine ear, he says, unto me, and hear my speech. Hear my prayer, O God, give ear to the words of my mouth. Psalm 54 and verse 2, Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. Psalm 130 and verse 2. And so when we read throughout the Scriptures, we see these individuals who have called out upon God for His ears to be open unto their cries, unto their prayers. And so as we look through the Scriptures tonight and we study the ears of God, we're going to notice four topics in particular. We're going to look at the righteous, the reason, the rights, and the rest. Let's talk about the righteous to begin with. As it has to do with the ears of God, the righteous have access to the open ears of God. Peter wrote this, and he's quoting the psalmist, as we noted a moment ago. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. 1 Peter 3 and verse 12. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. That's from Psalm 34 and verse 15. But the righteous have access to the Almighty. Not everyone has access. But those who are, in fact, righteous, living righteous lives, for those, in fact, who are making strides to turn, I believe that as well the Lord does hear at least certain prayers, not necessarily prayers of salvation, but prayers of access to salvation would certainly be answered, as well as certainly God working behind the scenes with His providence finds those individuals a way to hear the gospel in their lives so that they can respond to it. We think about the righteous having access, the same one who, access to the one who created the universe. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and the host of them by the breath of His mouth. Psalm 33 and verse 6. The same one who created mankind and who knows our every need, who knows us better than we know ourselves. Genesis 1:27, God created man in His own image, in the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. The one who also sustains life. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. So in the one whom we move, the one who gives us life and sustains our lives, the one who has created us, the one who has created the universe, the one who has created all that in which we get to enjoy as human beings in this existence, we get to call upon His name and to know that His ears are open unto our prayers. Who are the righteous? Well, certainly they're going to be the ones who are living according to God, who is righteous, to His word. We might think about the fact that those who have the right attitude, we talked about that in approaching God in worship even this morning. But I'm also mindful of Peter's words in 1 Peter 3 and verse 8, where he says, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful and courteous. Having that right kind of mindset is going to lead one to living a righteous life. I think about what Peter's letters are all about. You know, Peter's writing to those who are scattered, to those who are in situations who are not the greatest of situations, who may be in their work situation and maybe their home life. Maybe one had obeyed the gospel, a spouse had obeyed the gospel, and the other had not. There were difficulties in Peter's writing to cover a multitude of those situations, but in everything, he keeps reminding them to live righteous lives because it will afford an opportunity for others to hear the gospel and to see the gospel lived out every day in your life. And so it's about having that right kind of mind, as we were touching on that even this morning. It's also about not just the right attitude, but right actions. We could have the greatest of attitude, but not be doing the right thing. I think we see that in a lot of places even today. The right actions, certainly that's going to be important when you talk about who are the righteous. Seeing that you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Then he goes on to explain what we need to be doing because of that. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of the Lord, he says, or by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23. And so certainly our obedience plays into who are the righteous. And so we're talking about a right attitude, right actions that follow that good attitude as well. And so we understand thinking about righteousness because the righteous, when we read throughout the Old Testament, we're reading about those whom God has called to turn away from their unrighteous living, their unrighteous ways, and turn and follow Him and to be His children. The New Testament really is no different because we see a plan that's now in place when we open our New Testaments, and we see a way that righteousness can truly be had by living for God, by following His Son, and because His Son went to the cross and shed His blood to die for us, that we might be forgiven of those sins. The righteousness, they turn from evil then to do good. The righteous seek after peace and ensue it. So there's a right actions that you can see that point to righteousness in an individual's lives. But then the right attention is important as well. It's about focusing, isn't it, in this life? So easy for us to get turned around, so easy for us to lose our focus, to start looking at other things around us and to be distracted by those things, looking at the next pretty new thing, whatever it is. I remember, a couple years ago when I'm a Jeep guy. You've seen the Jeep that I drive, so you know that I'm a Jeep guy. So when the new Jeeps came out, naturally, I want the new Jeep. That's just how we are. But sometimes we lose our focus on, I'm still paying on that other Jeep. I've got to finish doing that. So I can't lose my focus. But we do that. We call it this way. We squirrel a lot. Some of you want to pick up on that movie reference to know what I'm talking about. We squirrel. We look real quick at something else and our mind is completely taken off. What is the real thing that I'm supposed to be doing right now? Where is my focus supposed to be? I'm supposed to be pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And anything that gets in my way and distracts me from that is not good. And so when we're talking about who are the righteous, we're talking about individuals with the right kind of attitude, with the right actions in their life because they've been obedient unto God and continue to live obedient lives. But their attention is also right. They stay focused. They maintain that focus. And so we talk about the righteous. The ears of the Lord are open unto the righteous. Let's talk about the reason. Number two, the reason. The reason the righteous have the right to approach God is because of the righteous lives of their children. It's not something owed to us, but it is a privilege, and it is something that has been afforded to us. Sometimes we often, prayer is something that we overlook in our lives. Things can be going very well, and what happens so often is our prayer life begins to decline. And sometimes that's maybe we've lost focus. That can certainly cause those things. Hopefully it doesn't turn into the wrong kind of attitude that leads to a wrong kind of action, causing us to no longer be righteous people as we should be. But the righteous have access. And part of that is because of living that righteous life. Now that's not, the problem with talking about things like this is that some people will turn that and say, well, see, they do think they are better than us. It's not about thinking that somebody's better than anyone else. What it's about is having access to God because of living a godly life. That's the difference. And so we realize that we often fall short. Romans 3 and verse 23 reminds us of that fact, that certainly any of us at any point in time could fall short of God, and we often do. But certainly we are living because we have that right attitude and the right actions. We're living with the right focus, and we're walking in the light. And then we have the blood of Jesus Christ, which continues to wash away our sins. 1 John chapter 1 and 2. And with that in mind, the righteous have access. And that's part of the reason. Part of the reason that we see this is because we're God's children. What would it be to an individual? What would it, think about the situation where if a father was not speaking to his child, and if the child is not speaking to his father? I know in physical families that certainly has happened. And it can be devastating by way of a relationship between the two. But certainly as thinking about a young child, looking up to his father and asking questions and telling his father what needs he has in this life. And, it may seem rather shallow to someone else, but maybe it's the most important thing at that very moment to that child. And the loving father does what? He doesn't just say, go on and leave me alone. That's not important. But he teaches and he helps them and he answers their questions and helps them along the way to understand what he is providing for them and what he is willing to give them. And that's because there is a relationship that is there. And so the reason that the righteous have access unto the Father is because we are his children. For you're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, Galatians 3:26 and 27. God is our Father. And that relationship is one that we need to continue to make sure that we're doing our part on our side of the relationship. God has done His part and continues to do His part and continues to keep His promises toward us. The reason that we sometimes lack as children of God might be a simple one. God has made this clear to us. He tells us the reason that we might be lacking in some way. James 4 and verse 2, James says, "You have not because you ask not." That's a pretty powerful statement, isn't it? You have not because you ask not. I remember Brother Steve's lesson just a couple of months ago was to that tune. Our prayers should be asked in a way, certainly asked in faith, knowing that God, the God who is the creator and the sustainer of life, who is the giver of life, the giver of our very breath, He answers our prayers, and we know that He will, but we sometimes fail to ask in that way. We fail to ask. You have not because you ask not. There may be other things that may cause a lacking in that relationship. We might lack because we're not asking correctly. You ask and receive not, James also says, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. So you're asking with the wrong desires. You're asking with desires for your own wants and things like that is what he's talking about, James 4 and verse 3. And so we might be lacking in some way because we're not asking correctly. And then, as already mentioned, we might lack because we're not asking in faith. James also then says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Again, James 1, verse 6 and 7. So that's the reason, because we are God's children. Number 3, the rights. We have the right to plurality, if you will, in prayer. The rights that we have are expressed, or express everything to God in prayer. When we go to God in prayer, it's not usually the case that it is one thing that we are asking for. We spend time, and if we're doing things correctly in our prayers, certainly we are praising God, from whom all blessings flow. That's where our prayers begin. We're thanking Him for all those things that He has done. But when we get to the point of letting our petitions be made known unto God, it is rare that it is just one thing that's on our list. We typically have numerous things. And maybe it's just numerous people that we're praying for, numerous situations that we're praying that things will work out according to God's will, but work out for the best, to be able to help those individuals or to help us in a certain situation. But it's typically more than just one thing that we're asking. And with that being the case, then it is easy to understand why we might become anxious in this life. And why Paul would write, I'd rather be anxious for nothing, but in prayer, supplication, in everything, he says, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace that surpasses all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. And Paul says, then in everything we are to pray and petition the ears of God. Not in the major things, not in some of the things, not in the hard things. He says in everything, which obviously all of those would be included in that. There's not a single thing in our lives that we deal with, that we face on a day-to-day basis, that we should not be bringing before our Father in heaven. That's the kind of relationship that we should have with Him. But you know, it's hard to have that kind of relationship if we don't know Him. And that's why lessons like this are designed to help us understand that God is there with open ears, ready to hear what His children have to say. We often sing, "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege, Zacharias says. Everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. What needless pain we bear. Why? All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. We have the right then to plurality in our prayers. We also have the right to peace in our prayers. I already mentioned Philippians 4 and verse 7, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, that will keep or guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We also have the right to persistence in prayer. In Luke 18, we read about the persistent widow. She was granted her request. Why? Because of her persistence. And the lesson that's taught on top of that is about our asking God. And Jesus taught in this parable that we should be persistent in prayer. He spoke this parable unto them to this end, or for this very purpose, that men ought always to pray and not to lose heart or to faint. Number four, and the last point is this, the rest. The rest. We talked about the righteous. We've talked about the reason. We've talked about the rights that we have. What about the rest? You see, those whom the Lord will hear. The passage implied for us that there are some that the Lord will not hear. We have passages like John 9, verse 31 that remind us. You remember when Jesus had healed that blind man? And then the blind man's called in to questioning by the Sanhedrin council. But he makes this statement. We don't know we do not know that God hears sinners. But if any man is a worshiper of God and does His will, him He hears. What is he saying there? Well, of course, he's talking about Jesus, and he's talking about the obvious miracle that has been done and all of that work. And they're trying to twist things against this guy, and of course against Jesus in that. But it says, we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man is a worshiper and does His will, him He hears. Lord, those whom the Lord will not hear. It's interesting, John MacArthur wrote, an article, and so part of this comes from that article. There's a couple of points that he makes in that I thought were worthy of this lesson. He says, number one, those with personal or selfish motives. We've already kind of mentioned that, James 4 and verse 3. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lusts. But then number two, he says, those who regard iniquity in your heart. Very clearly, Psalm 66 and 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. This is very plain. He's inspired to write those things. And so, certainly I have to be willing to give up sin. I have to be willing to turn unto Him, to repent of those things, and to be in a right relationship with God, according to the New Testament plan. Number three, those who would remain in sin. And those who would continue in sin. If to begin with, because they regard iniquity in their heart, and they have their personal and selfish motives, those individuals are probably some of the very same ones who would remain in sin. We read Isaiah 59, verse 2 in particular. Behold, or he says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. Those are very clear passages reminding us. In fact, we read in Malachi, in the minor prophet of Malachi, chapter 1, verse 7 and 9, those who offer unworthy sacrifices unto God, by the way, God will not hear. Those who forsake God, Jeremiah 14, 10 through 12. Those who will not heed God's law, Proverbs 28 and verse 9. Those who turn a deaf ear themselves to the cry of the poor and needy, those who are hurting, Proverbs 21 and verse 13. Those who are violent, And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, he says, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Isaiah 1 and verse 15. Judah had become a nation characterized by violence. And so their prayers were not being answered by God. Those who are of a proud heart, James 4 and verse 6. Those who are self-righteous, Luke 18, 11 to 14. Those who would mistreat God's people. So MacArthur lists this long list of those things for the very purpose of reminding us what is the other side of this. We're talking about a loving God who desires our worship, a loving God who desires that we would be saved, and is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come unto Him and come into repentance, that all would come to a knowledge of truth, 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4, 1 Peter 3 and verse 9. So in all of those things, we're reminded of a loving God, but at the same time, a loving God who has expectations of His children and wants the right kind of relationship. And so we go back to then that idea of the righteous. Are you listed as one of the righteous? And we're all called to be righteous. We're called by the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13 and 14. We're called by the gospel. The gospel that was first preached by Jesus Himself, handed off to the apostles by the Holy Spirit, and those New Testament writers who did those very things to write down so that we have that word today. We don't have to guess. We don't have to wonder about it. We can know the truth. And Jesus reminds us that truth will make us free. It calls us to be free. It calls us to be righteous. To be His child. The right attitude, right actions, and the right type of heart that would cause us to always want to be found doing His will. You have that type of heart? If so, then the Lord's ears are open unto your prayers. If not, then we should repent. So we have that avenue open for us. So that we have that right relationship with God. So that He will hear our prayers, answer our prayers. And He certainly will do so according to His will. If you have a need this evening, if it's a matter of correction, if it's a matter of asking for forgiveness of something that's in your life, if it's a matter of asking for strength to help with a certain situation, we want you to know as family, we're here to do that, to pray for you, to encourage you, every way that we know how. But maybe there's one this evening who even needs to obey the gospel, who needs to begin that walk with Jesus. And if you believe Jesus to be the Son of God, you'd repent of sin, confess your faith in Christ, and be baptized to wash away your sins. You can begin that walk right now as He'll add you to His church as saved, as righteous. And you have that access unto your Father, your Heavenly Father. What a beautiful picture that we have thinking about God. And His ears are open, ready to hear us. Ready to hear what we have to say to Him. This evening, if you have a need, let it be known what we can do to help while we stand and while we sing this song.